I want to speak to you for a few minutes this morning about the transfer of spiritual authority. If we understand the transfer of spiritual authority and what that means to us as believers, we will hear God say to us in this revelation, "When you speak, they will hear my voice." It's all about spiritual authority. Jesus was a man of such great authority that when he walked into a room, his authority filled the room. The Bible says the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority. In Matthew chapter 21 and verse 23, it says, "Now when he came into the temple, the chief priest and the elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching and said," notice the question they asked him, "by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" There are only two principles in the universe, only two. There is, first of all, the principle of God's authority. The only other principle at work in the universe is the principle of satanic rebellion. That's it. God's authority or satanic rebellion. Watchman Nee wrote a classic book called Spiritual Authority decades ago. And in it, he said, "Our entire relationship with God is regulated by whether or not we have met authority." That will show a man's true colors when he meets authority. And in fact, when you are confronted with authority, you should yield to God's authority. Remember the last time the blue light pulled you over while you were driving down the highway? The authority of God is there to protect us. And here's what I want to talk about briefly this morning. Spiritual authority, how it is transferred, how we lost it, and how we got it back. In a minute, I will tell you about the four exchanges of spiritual authority. All you have to do is understand these four exchanges, how spiritual authority is transferred from one to another. If we can get that, life will be much easier. It begins, first of all, with God. He had all authority in the heavens and in the earth. And then in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, we see the first transfer. "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." That's important. Every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God, who had all authority, now transfers some of his authority to Adam, the first man, and then to Eve, the first woman. And when God, speaking in Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness," what he was saying is, let us make an exact duplication in kind. Here is God, all authority in the universe, the heavens and the earth. And now he's saying, let us make somebody like me. And Adam was made in the likeness, an exact duplication of God. God ruled the heavens with unquestioned authority. And now in the first exchange, in the first transfer of authority, God is giving a measure of his authority to Adam, and Adam was to rule the earth with God's authority. Adam and Eve were to be in the earth, an exact duplication of what God was in heaven. Lucifer had earlier desired God's authority in heaven, but he failed. Remember that? He failed. And now that he could not have God's authority in heaven, he went after man's authority in the earth. Every time Satan looked at Adam, he saw somebody like God. Every time Satan looked at Adam and Eve in the earth, he saw the authority of God in the earth, just like he had seen the authority of God in heaven when he wanted to overrule God and was banished from heaven to the earth. When Adam spoke, Satan heard God's voice. That's what spiritual authority is. When Adam spoke, Satan heard God's voice. It's the same thing if I were to give you my power of attorney. Then legally, you would have the authority to go and represent me, to speak in my name, even to take care of legal transactions as if I were the one there signing the legal document myself. I am not. I'm sending you. But you, with my power of attorney, you who've been given my authority, you who have been given the right to use my name, are just as capable as I myself would be, because of a transfer of authority. Authority is one of the most serious subjects in the Word of God and in our lifetime. Now, then enter the serpent into the picture. Remember, God had given Adam authority over the earth, and he said, take dominion over all the things that creep on the earth. That included that serpent. The serpent at that point stood upright. So we're told, stood upright, probably about 6 foot tall. I've seen a 6 foot snake, and I've seen some serpents standing 6 feet tall. A few, all I'm saying is a few. And there's Adam and Eve, and the earth was so much like heaven, God came and walked with them every day. That's how perfect God's creation was. It was heaven-like. God ruled the heavens with his unchallenged authority, and Adam and Eve ruled the earth with God's unchallenged authority. It was heaven-like until the serpent entered the picture and planted a doubt in Adam and Eve's mind. The Bible says that the serpent was the most cunning of all creatures. And throughout church history, Eve the woman has been blamed for the curse of sin. Eve the woman. But the greater sin was Adam's. Why? Because his authority was greater. His responsibility was greater. Most think Adam was not in the garden or he was elsewhere, but Genesis 3:6 says when Eve partook of the fruit, her husband was with her. He was right there, and he had the responsibility. If you understand authority now, you got to listen to me. He was right there and had the authority and the responsibility to say to Eve and to the serpent, no way, not on my watch. First Timothy 2:14 says, Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived. Adam was there, but he was silent. He did not say anything. Adam's disobedience, or Eve's disobedience, began with her eating the fruit, but Adam's disobedience began with his silence. Now, if you're going to qualify for God's authority for your life, and all of us as believers should understand the authority of the believer, you've got to accept the responsibility that there comes a time, if you're a man or a woman of God's authority, that you cannot remain silent. Authority takes on a voice. Authority must speak. Authority must be heard. In fact, when you speak with God's authority in your life, God says, when you speak, they will hear my voice. That's how powerful spiritual authority is when it's transferred from God to us. Adam was designed to speak, but he said nothing. He was physically present, but spiritually absent. Adam's sin was his silence. John Bevere said in his great book, Undercover, a book about spiritual authority, and he said it right here in this church many years ago, if you do not stand in the authority God has given you, somebody will take it away from you and use it against you. What a powerful principle. How sad, but true. And that's exactly what happened in the garden. Adam did not stand in his position of authority. And the devil came, took it from him, and used it against him. And has tried to use it against every generation since then because of the curse of sin. Even to this very day, here's the deal with the devil. And I like to talk about him. I don't talk much about him on Sunday morning, the devil. But you know, when you have an enemy, you need to know his name. You need to be able to call it what it is. You know, we're at war against Islam radical extremists. We need to be able to say that. It was a matter of Adam not doing something right. He should have broken his silence. But because he didn't, the curse of uncertainty brings the death of authority. The curse of uncertainty. Adam was uncertain there for just a split second, and the curse of uncertainty brought the death of his authority. Then we see the second transition. The authority God had given Adam, now Adam is giving to Satan. And he ran wild with it for thousands of years. He became the prince of darkness and the ruler of darkness. He became the God of this world. He still likes that title. Here, let me tell you about the devil. He can do a few things. He can tempt you. He can accuse you. And he can deceive you if you're not careful. Here's the truth about those three things. When I'm tempted, I know it. When I'm accused by the devil, I know it. But when I'm deceived, I do not know it. That's why truth is so important. That's why God's word is the standard by which we live, by faith. If we did not know the truth of God's word, we would be vulnerable to deception. That's one of the tools in the devil's toolbox. But because of God's word that causes a light bulb to come on in a dark place for us, we are not vulnerable to the enemy's deception. Now, there were consequences to this transfer of spiritual authority. Consequences to Adam, consequences for Eve, and consequences for the serpent. I'll share a few of them with you just quickly off the top of my head. You can read it all in Genesis 2 when you go home. If you don't get enough this morning, you can get more this afternoon. Genesis 2. All right. First of all, to Adam. To Adam, God said, because you've heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat it all the days of your life. By the sweat of your brow you will eat bread. All right, now, that's big news to Adam and for all us men. Because of this transfer of authority, Adam gave Satan the authority and the dominion to rule the earth. It has been passed down to us, and now we men have to earn a living by the sweat of our brow. We have to go to work to make a living. That was not God's original purpose when he created man in the garden. Everything was provided for him. So that's a curse right there. And all the men said, amen. Amen. Have to get up in the morning and go to work. Because of this right here. But then God said to Eve, it's worse for you women in some ways. I'd rather get up in the morning and go to work than to have a baby. Deliver a baby. I'll punch in at 9. I don't want to deliver a baby. But part of the curse that fell on Eve and the women, to the woman, God said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Now, ladies, you got the worst of that deal. The only one who got it worse than the men were the women. And the only one who got it worse than the men and the women was the devil. Because in that same chapter, here's what God said to the serpent. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go. So now right there, instead of walking upright and being one of the most cunning creatures in the world, now he's crawling on his belly. And God said, you shall eat dust all the days of your life. God said to the serpent, I will put enmity or hatred between you and the woman. I don't know about your wife, men, but my wife hates a snake. Every time my wife sees a snake, she's calling for me to get that shovel. I showed you the shovel. That shovel has beheaded many a devil. My wife does not like a snake. And it's because God put hatred in the mind, in the heart of a woman. They don't like snakes. I did date a girl one time who had 2 pet snakes. And I said, no, I'm not going to stay with that one. And then God said this to the devil, to the serpent. I'm going to put hatred between your seed and her seed. And her seed will bruise your head. Now the word head refers to authority. God is saying to the devil, and I think he had a clue right then. God is saying to the devil, you have brought sin to the earth. It's no longer like heaven. I gave my authority to Adam, and he has given it to you now. But the day will come when your authority or your head will be crushed. And it's going to happen at the hands of a seed of a woman. There's going to be a woman one day that will have a baby boy. Because God said right then, he shall crush your head. So the devil had a clue right then, uh-oh. I illegitimately took God's authority he had given man. Now, I've got run of the earth right now. I'm the big dog on earth right now. I'm the one with dominion and the power to subdue the earth right now. But uh-oh, God has just told me my days are numbered. And some woman is going to give birth to a baby boy who's going to grow up and take back the authority of God that I have stolen from Adam. So now let's keep up the 4 exchanges of spiritual authority. First, there was God to Adam, and then Adam to Satan. And now we're waiting. The devil's waiting for thousands of years, keeping his eyes open because he knew God said the day will come when you'll have to give up that authority. It's going to be taken away from you. And so the devil kept his eye open throughout thousands of years. And every male child that was born was a possibility for the devil. The birth of a baby boy, and I'm sure the devil blinked and said, could that be the one that's going to take back my authority? And he would watch these boys grow up. It became such a recurring fear in the mind of the devil that there were several times he, working through people like Pharaoh, said, kill every baby boy that's born for a while. Every baby boy that's born, kill him. I don't want to run the risk of that being the boy that's going to grow up and become a man and take my authority back. So during Pharaoh's time, every baby boy that was born was killed. Moses was an exception. Then even in the days when Christ was born, Herod issued a ruling that every baby boy born would be killed now. Because the devil was afraid for his life. And then babies like Noah, little Noah, that baby boy born. And Satan watched him grow up and noticed something about Noah. He was a praying man. He feared God. He could hear God speak. In fact, Noah heard God say, build a boat. I'm going to destroy the earth. Don't you know, Satan was trembling in his boots right then when he saw Noah build that boat and then God send rain and destroy everything except Noah and his family. I imagine the devil thought Noah must be the one that's going to take back my authority, take it away from me. But Noah lived 950 years and died. Imagine being nervous for 950 years, looking over your shoulder for 950 years, saying, oh, today may be the day Noah is going to crush my head and take back God's authority that I have illegitimately stolen from Adam. But after 950 years, Noah died. Satan was a nervous wreck. For 950 years. And then Abraham would come on the scene later. And here's a man who had such a relationship with God. God called him a friend. And God made a covenant. I imagine the devil was watching that ceremony when God and Abraham made a covenant. And I imagine Satan was close enough to hear God speak to Abraham and make him the promise that you're going to be the father of many nations. Now, Abraham lived a while, and I'm sure Satan kept his eye on Abraham. And there was that time when Abraham and his mistress had Ishmael. That was no problem to the devil, because the devil knew that's the flesh. It wasn't the spirit. And so, Satan had a temporary relief until Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was about that old and she got pregnant by the Spirit and Isaac was born. Oh, I can just feel him trembling right now, that devil, thinking that Abraham and that man of great faith is probably the one that's going to take my authority away from me. But Abraham lived 175 more years and then he died. The devil was relieved until Moses was born. Now, Moses was that boy who was born during a time when every male child born was killed. And don't you know the devil was happy about that? Oh, I don't have to worry about a thing right now in this season because every baby boy that's born is going to be killed. Until Moses, and he was put in a basket and shipped down the river. I'm sure the devil was nervous when there was that one exception in Moses. Moses had a rod, and the devil saw that rod become a serpent in Moses' hand. Moses could take that rod and hit a rock, and water would pour out. Moses and his relationship to God was so strong that Moses could speak for God. In fact, you talk about spiritual authority and and the exchange of authority and the transfer of spiritual authority. God said to Moses, you go to Pharaoh and you tell him, I am. If you really understand spiritual authority, when you speak, they will hear God's voice. So Moses goes into Pharaoh and he says, I am, sent me. And in our New Testament day, it's similar to us being able to pray in Jesus' name. When we pray in Jesus' name, it's the same as Jesus praying. That's the transfer of spiritual authority. But Moses, with all the miracles that he could do, even dividing the Red Sea and all of the devil's army drowning, and God's people walking across on dry land. Don't you know the devil was thinking, he's the one. Moses is going to take my authority away. But he didn't. He finally died. There were other great prophets like Elijah. And Elijah could stop the rain for 3.5 years. And then pray and the rain would begin again. I'm sure the devil probably thought, with a man with that much power, he's got to be. Elijah is going to be the one to take my authority back. But he didn't. Elijah died. The only problem with that is Elisha followed him, and he had double the anointing Elijah had. The devil was on pins and needles for thousands of years. Throughout generation after generation, prophets like Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And finally, when the last prophet died in the old covenant, and there were 400 years of silence, I'm sure Satan said, wow, I got it made now. Maybe it's not going to come to pass. 400 years and God's not even had a voice in the earth. But all that changed when a baby was born. And when he grew up to age 30 and began his public ministry. And John the Baptist said, prepare the way of the Lord in the wilderness. And when he was baptized in Jordan River, and John the Baptist identified him to the world and said, behold, that is the Lamb of God that has come to take away the sins of the world. Satan knew right then, that's the one. All of these thousands of years have come and gone, one prophet right after the other. I thought everyone would be the one, but none of them were. But now, this is the Lamb of God. He's the one. So what did the devil do? Immediately. You read it in the Gospels. As soon as God spoke from heaven and said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. The very next thing you see happening is the devil leads him into the wilderness to be tempted. Because the devil wanted to trip him up right there in the early days. And be able to keep. Now if Satan had won that battle in the wilderness for those 40 days. If Jesus had yielded to either of those three temptations, listen to the ramifications. Talk about the transfer of spiritual authority. If Jesus had yielded to the temptation of the devil in the wilderness, Satan would not only have maintained and kept forever the authority in the earth. But because he was God, had he yielded, Satan would have also gained the spiritual authority in heaven. There's a lot riding on that. Because he was God, the Son of God, he was fighting not only for us, but also for spiritual authority in the heavens. So you know, at age 33, he was crucified for our sins, and we're here because of that. If it had not been for that one single event in the history of the world, we would not be here today. And when he arose from the dead, Satan had to release the authority in the earth. We call it the keys to the kingdom in the New Testament. So Satan was robbed of the keys of the kingdom. Jesus took the authority away from Satan, and then he gave it to us. Now, let me read you about the devil. And, you know, I'm just calling him out today. I usually don't talk about the bad boy. Now, on Wednesday nights at 7, we're teaching on spiritual warfare, so we're calling him out a good bit then. But on Sunday morning, I don't give the devil this much prime time usually. And here's why. Isaiah 14, beginning at verse 12, talking to the devil. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground. You who weakened nations. For you have said in your heart, here was the battle in heaven. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the farther sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Notice how many times he said, I will. I will. Verse 15, yet you shall be brought down to hell, Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. And look, this puts the devil in his place on a Sunday morning. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble? Who shook kingdoms? Who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities? Is this the one, that puny little thing right there, the devil, that did not open the house of his prisoners? One translation says, is this the one that would not release his prisoners? This pitiful, puny, little, pathetic devil? Is that the one who caused all the trouble? Look at you. You've been brought down so low. Jesus did that in his crucifixion and resurrection. He became Lord of the earth again. He took back from Satan the authority Satan had robbed from Adam. And so here are the four exchanges of spiritual authority. First of all, God to Adam. And then Adam to Satan. But then Satan had no choice but to transfer the authority he had robbed over the earth back to Jesus. And here's where we are today. Jesus transfers that spiritual authority back to you. In Luke chapter 9, verse 1, he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. There's a difference between power and authority. Power is the capacity, the strength, the ability to perform. That's power. The capacity, the strength, and the ability to get the job done. That's power. Authority, on the other hand, is the legal right to enforce obedience. One really wouldn't be good without the other. Barack Obama is the most powerful man on the planet. They say it comes with the office of the presidency. But he would not have any of that power if he did not take that oath and receive the authority for that office. First comes the authority, the understanding of authority, and then the power is there to back it up. Power is the strength, the capacity, the ability to perform, but authority is the legal right to enforce obedience. That's why you can be speeding down the highway, a big man like Pastor Chris right there, big man like Pastor Chris, and Barney Fife pull you over. It happened. And you had to pay a fine to Barney Fife, even though you're three, you could have whipped him. When it comes to power, you had three times what he had, but he had authority. So he gave you a ticket. And the cost of disobedience is going up. Costs more these days. So we see here Jesus transferring that spiritual authority that he got from the devil. And in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, he said to 70 people, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions." Now we're back. We're restored to where we were when Adam received God's authority in the earth. And God said, "Take dominion over everything that creeps on the earth." And now back in the New Testament, Jesus is giving back that authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And Jesus said, "And nothing shall by any means hurt you." Now, when you speak, they will hear God's voice. When you have an enemy spirit, and by the way, that's our enemy. You can look around the room. None of these men and women in here are your enemy. You can look outside these four walls. No flesh and blood is an enemy. We don't battle that. We battle the devil or his demons, his evil spirits, his princes, powers, and rulers of darkness. Jesus won the war, and we have the authority to enforce what he's already won for us. If you understand spiritual authority, how we lost it, and how we got it back, then every believer will fit this description. When you speak, they will hear God's voice. If there's a demon spirit assigned to you, when you speak, that spirit will hear God's voice because of the transfer of spiritual authority. When you speak, the enemy will hear my voice. When Dr. Caudill was here just a few years ago, he gave us a few statements about spiritual authority. I will repeat them in closing. He said, "Satan now has no legitimate authority of his own." No legitimate authority of his own. Dr. Caudill said, "We have been given the authority Satan claims." And then he closed by saying this, "Exercising my power of right choice strengthens God's authority in me." Now, I like that. We are partners with God in this. Exercising my right choice increases. And then he said, "Every time I make a right choice, my spiritual authority increases." Every time I make a wrong choice, that's disobedience right there. Remember, there are only two principles, the principle of God's authority and the principle of satanic rebellion. So every time I make a right choice, my spiritual authority increases. Every time I make a wrong choice, my spiritual authority decreases. So where does the devil get his power these days? The only power he gets these days are from our wrong choices. That's playing into the hands of satanic rebellion. That's not the principle that we live by. We are submitted to the principle of God's authority, how we lost it and how we got it back. Would you stand, please? Everybody stand. I'd like for the prayer team.